B-Pod Studios.
This. Have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Toronto is finalizing a trade to secure Marc Gasol.
Finally, we have an arms race in the East, right? The Philly makes their move early. Then we see Milwaukee. Then we see Toronto here. Boston, where you at, Boston?
I think it messed up with their depth.
Really?
I don't see Marc Gasol moving the needle because their best lineup is with Serge Ibaka at center and Siakam at the four with mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard. So yeah, I think this was a lateral move. So I'm not sure how much this helped him as much as Mertic helps Milwaukee.
Right.
So, and Tobias Harris helps Philly. So I don't know.
Okay, Paul Pierce, ESPN. Less than ebullient. I don't know why I said that.
Less than glowing.
Less than impressed with the Marc Gasol trade to Toronto. But Harris and Mirotic give the Bucks and the Sixers more shooters, which both teams need. And I don't think you're catching the Bucks. So you're going to have to beat the Bucks on the road, which I think you can do. I think Toronto's a tougher out for you than the Milwaukee. And I'll just reset why real quick, because I think Toronto... The Bucks have no playoff pedigree. They have yet to win a series. Okay, never mind advance deep in the playoffs. So, and they should this year. They've cleaned up on the bottom of the Eastern Conference, and they should win their first-round matchup and probably their second, I think. But there's no playoff pedigree there. So Giannis has never really gone on a run. Those guys have never gone on a run where Toronto has been knocking the door for years. So Kawhi Leonard's damn 1-1. Ibaka's gotten to the finals. Ibaka on the Thunder that year they went to the finals?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so Ibaka's gone on deep runs. Even Lowry, fat dump, he's made runs where he's got beaten by LeBron every time, but they've won. So Toronto's that team that's been knocking on the door. So much more playoff seasoning there. You have a real hard time winning in Toronto. You haven't won in 13 or 14 games. I also think Toronto has a better closer in Kawhi Leonard than Giannis Antetokounmpo. For as great as Giannis is, he's not a real closer. He's not the guy that you give the ball to down one with 10 seconds left for the last shot. He's just really not that guy. So who is it in Milwaukee? Is it Middleton or Bledsoe or Brogdon or now Mirotic? It's like up against Kawhi Leonard or even Kyrie Irving.
There's no killer. There's no killer.
They don't have the guy. So Milwaukee, I like Boston in that series as long as Boston's playing as well. I mean, I'm rooting for the Bucks. Don't get me wrong. But I think Boston has them. I think the Celtics have the Bucks if the Celtics are playing well. Toronto, I think you need to be home to win that series.
Yeah, to me, it's Kawhi. Kawhi's the one that scares me in that series because he can take the whole thing over. And so, look, the next game, Celtics-Raptors, is gigantic. I mean, it's absolutely huge. It's 2-1 Celtics now, right?
Yeah.
Because they won the two games in Boston. So you win the third one up there. Not only do you close the gap, but now you've got them 3-1 in a tiebreaker.
I've shown you can win in Toronto.
Absolutely. Like, that next game up there is huge.
Okay, so there's your reset there. Jeff in Plymouth leads us off this hour. Your thoughts on the Markel Fultz trade today. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, so here's the thing. I mean, more than any sport, NBA, these GMs are like 2 years and then they're done. So if Danny Ainge is calling and you're an NBA GM, You run for the hills because you don't want to get fleeced by them, because that basically means you're going to lose your job if you're the idiot in Philly who lost his job because of basically, you know, making bad decisions like this. So, you know, I think it hurts the Celtics where Danny's fleeced these teams so many times.
I think it's true. I think that's worked against Danny Ainge. I don't want to be the next Billy King. I don't want to be the next, you know, who is the dink that, you know, did this Fultz trade. I don't want to be the next whoever.
Same guy who was tweeting about it, right?
Right? I don't want to be the next guy that gets fleeced by Danny Ainge. It's worked against him. Apparently, the Pelicans don't mind. So, if I were advising the Pelicans, I'd say just be careful, guys. Danny's promising you explosive offers in this. Just wait till you see what he really comes in with, and then be careful. You know, so, I mean, we'll see how it feels like New Orleans is willing to do the deal with you because they like Jason Tatum and they should. But just make no mistake, it's going to take you, Jason Tatum.
I mean, he really does. Ainge undresses people in these teams.
I mean, this Markel.
You'd think someone would learn by now.
This Markel Fultz thing is just, I mean, holy moly. Jack and Worcester, your thoughts on today's events.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. First, I just want to say I'm Team Tatum all the way. I don't want to deal with any more of these crybabies. I want a Kyrie out of here, too. But I was curious what you guys thought about the lack of movement today and what Kyrie might think about that. I thought we were going to pick up somebody. I was kind of hoping maybe Julius Randle. he's kind of having a big year. But yeah.
Well, Jack, I mean, just let me stop you. I mean, that's a good question. Let's say Kyrie Irving's not happy about it. They wanted you to, you know, act just like everybody else. Okay, so he's unhappy about it. He's obviously going nowhere now. Deadline's done. Let's see what you do in the playoffs. If you lose in the first or second, the first not's going to happen. If you lose in the second round, you know, it might be that was going to work against you as it comes to Kyrie Irving. If you go to the NBA Finals, then what happened today doesn't matter.
Yeah, look, you got to do everything you can to appease Kyrie. I mean, so now, look, you still have the buyout market, too. So maybe there's someone there that you're working with Kyrie on to get here. It wouldn't be the first time that happened. When they got Garnett the first year, they ended up getting Sam Cassell. They were buddies, and they brought Sam Cassell in. So, you know, there's still an avenue for them to do that, but keeping Kyrie happy is important.
Okay, Kyrie is a big backdrop to this whole day as well. And what he said last Friday really threw, I don't know, really changed the whole tenor of this deadline. You know, is one of the reasons Anthony Davis so dead set against coming here, and he doesn't want to come here. Again, another report. Last night, overnight, New York Times, Mark Stein, New York Times, says sources say Davis remains adamant that he will not sign a long-term deal with Boston if the Celtics trade for him in July. Okay? So, is that because Kyrie is now 1 foot out the door? Does Kyrie coming out last Friday hurt your cause adding other players and adding the one that matters the most, Anthony Davis? Anthony Davis now looks at this and says, well, I'm definitely not going there now. Kyrie's got 1 foot out the door. So Kyrie really hurt you in this process by what he said last Friday, I think.
No question, yeah, especially in the trade market.
Chris and Winthrop, your thoughts on Kyrie.
How you doing, guys? Yeah, I got to go back to what you were talking about earlier. I'm sorry, Maz. Like, the Celtics do play somewhat better team basketball without Kyrie. I mean, when I see Kyrie play, the game plan is get the ball to Kyrie, let him score 30, 40 points. It looks great to watch, and they're barely beating average teams. I mean, the Celtics have too many scores, too much talent. They can give the ball to anybody. Anybody on that team can score anywhere on the court. You know, so I'm not saying go out and trade Kyrie, even if he is out of here anyway, but he needs to change up the game plan. He needs to be a playmaker and not a scorer. So,
Chris, have you watched the last eight games? This one is, you know, blows me away. I like the team, but we all like the team basketball. We all like it. Okay, for sure, it looks better. We like the teamwork concept. We like all of that. At the end of these NBA games, a lot of that breaks down. And it comes down to who can get their own shot and make it. And to me, that's Irving. You can't, let's not get stupid about this. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe people are buying this crap. Like, what do you want to be? You want to be the Atlanta Hawks again?
If you want to admit that you're pissed off about what he said last Friday, and that's why you hold it against him, and that's why you want him gone, I'll readily accept that. Well, I get it. But if you want to say that they're better off without him on the floor, I'm sorry. You're just...
Okay.
No.
Right. There's a line there. Is he likable?
Eh.
You know, he drives me nuts. I think he's insufferable to listen to. I think he's insufferable. So I'm not into him, off the floor. Not that he's a bad guy or doing bad things. I just, oh, God, put a sock in it, man. So I feel that way about him, too. And he's brought in all this NBA drama. He's just, he's made you like these other teams, which can be annoying. So, I agree with all of that. On the floor, people, the guy's nasty.
Oh, my God, he's a borderline magician, for crying out loud.
Come on.
If he were 5 inches taller, he'd be one of the top three players in the league. And as it is, he's one of the top 5 or 10.
He's top 10, for sure. Frankie and Woburn, what do you got for us?
Yeah, back to your comment about Gordon Hayward not even being a six man. Well, let me tell you something. Last night, Shaq was on Inside the NBA, I think Players Only, after the Heat game, and he was talking about the Lakers trade rumors and said, right now in the NBA, there's bums making $30 million. Bums. And he's talking about Gordon Hayward. Comment, you guys.
So, I mean, it's the worst contract in the league right now. He's the sixth highest paid player in the game.
Sixth.
Again, I'm sorry. I asked before. Did we look at how much is he averaging a game? Is he above 10 points a game?
I believe so. I think it's 11.
I said 11.
Is he that high now?
I don't even know.
He was at 8 for a good chunk of the year.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And even then, 11 points a game. He had Jonathan Simmons for that.
So, I mean, that's a big one. There's no question.
10-7.
Oh, he's averaging 10.7 points a game. Good Lord.
Yeah, but Felge, he's got more value than that.
Well, so Woody has something on Gordon Hayward. Go ahead, Woody.
Don't count out Gordon Hayward for next season. I'll tell you why. I broke my leg in the same exact way once. 8 months in a cast, 4 months on a cane, and my first year
Woody.
At work.
Woody, how tall are you? Honestly.
5'9".
Okay. And how much? And honestly, how much do you weigh?
I don't know, about 150.
Okay, so you're a little guy. Lie, yeah, that's a lie. It's like 275.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, no,
230 now.
My point is, my first year back at work, all I was good for was sweeping out the shop and fetching coffee until my leg got strong enough after 2 years.
He okay, Woody, fair
his
point.
Leg in half.
No question. No question. And I think you can look to Paul George and say, well, it took a couple of years for Paul George to come back and be fully the guy that he was. And going optimistic about Gordon Hayward, I'd look to Paul George. Woody, all due respect, not you.
Yeah, all I was good for was sweeping the floor. Now I can take out the
too easy. It's too easy.
And now I'm driving a cab. I couldn't even stop. I couldn't press the brake before because my leg wasn't strong.
Back with more of your reaction to trade deadline day right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Getting Anthony Davis in a trade may be what is necessary to keep Kyrie Irving. That Boston has to start looking at this trade this way. We aren't just trading for Anthony Davis. We aren't just putting a package of players and assets together to get AD. We're doing it to get AD and Kyrie Irving, and that's how they have to look at it. And I think you look then at Jason Tatum. Listen, nobody in Boston wants to imagine having Jason Tatum but no AD and no Kyrie Irving. You would take the two, obviously, and the fact that they gave up so little really for Kyrie Irving, I think they have to look at this as one big trade.
Well, and fans in Boston don't want to imagine that they will have to include Jason Tatum in a deal for Anthony Davis, but that may be the reality. That is the trump card. That is the trade piece that no other team that's in the bidding now. Right. There may be other teams that get in the bidding later. That's the piece that he's a better prospect right now than anyone on the Lakers. That's what the Pelicans would wait for. The Celtics can't explicitly promise it now. Yeah. They can certainly imply it. But that's the offer that they would wait for if they do. But, so, you know, the bird in the hand is powerful in a league that changes every 5 seconds. That's powerful.
Okay, that's Woj and Zach Lowe overnight. And the Pelicans decided not to take the bird in hand. They're going to wait for the summer. And for their sake, they better hope that Jason Tatum really is available or Zion Williamson really is available. Otherwise, they're going to be stuck with that Lakers package. But really, at the end of the day, what's the difference to them? It's the same difference. No urgency on their part to trade him because the Lakers was not the clear-cut bet off. It might be at the end of the day. Let's see. If the Celtics don't include Tatum, they won't be able to beat Zion Williamson if they're thrown at him or whatever the Lakers have.
I mean, in that league, there were no secrets. But don't you find it interesting maybe on some level that all of the details of the Lakers' offer came out?
Yeah. And I'm not surprised, but...
No, nor am I. But I'm wondering, I don't know, how much of that was New Orleans saying, okay, fine, you're going to leverage us, then we're going to poison your pool.
Yeah.
Now, here you go, because the Lakers are in a spin. Their locker room's a mess. Brandon Ingram's being chanted at on the road. LeBron doesn't want you.
LeBron's going to trade you.
So, again, I wonder if this is all backlash at LeBron. Fine, LeBron, you want to mess with the league, we'll mess with you.
Well, let's see what happens tonight at the Garden. Fans, I'm sure, will have some ideas for all those young kids. The Lakers just got emasculated the other night. Now, here comes LeBron and the Lakers. They're past the deadline. I don't know. Should be an interesting night at the Garden, for sure. No question about it. All right, back to your phones. Greg in the car joins us next. Hi, Greg.
Hi, guys. Anthony Davis, adding him to the team, wouldn't that be a problem the way it was at the beginning of the season that we had too much talent? Do you really want to add that great of talent to a team that already has too much? I'll hang up.
Now, let me stop you there, Maz. Are you worried about adding too much talent?
No, I love this. Like, why would you want a great player? You can't mess with the chemistry.
Well, the chemistry is going to be affected.
Yeah, the chemistry is going to be affected. Not as much as everyone thinks, because you're going to be shipping half of your team out the door to bring him in here.
Right, the guys that have been the problem or been pissed off about minutes, they'll all be gone.
I can't believe people are trying to use logic that we would use in other sports. Like, you're affecting the mix, you're affecting the chemistry, the makeup of the locker room, the culture.
Okay, but
all of which is true.
To be fair, and you're about to say the NBA doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
Okay. Except it's been a factor on this team. This team's underachieved to this point.
Okay, but you're not going to have the same glut of talent. First of all, you're going to have a big man. Who are you going to find better than him to take minutes away from him? What, you want to get Aaron Baines on the floor so Anthony Davis is going to get pissed off? Or Brown's going to be gone, Rozier's going to be gone, they're all going to be gone.
What's this?
There's going to be no glut of talent.
What's this going to mean for Robert Williams? Is Time Lord going to get his minutes?
I mean, it's crazy.
John in Charlestown. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I was going to talk about the NBA, but I just have to say the Felger and Mass show, where you go from Oculus to ball hole in the course of a conversation.
Blowhole. Blowhole. Blowhole.
But, oh, hole hole. Yes, sorry. Anyways, how do you put up with the NBA? It's unbearable. The Celtics sucked me into that league again. I haven't watched for years. But they started playing really good basketball, and there was no whiners because Kyrie got hurt. And so next thing you know, I'm watching basketball again, and I'm sucked in, and I'm like, oh, my God, what's it going to be like next year? Look at this semi-unselfish team. I won't go that far. It's not like the old days. And what happens? I end up in the middle of this. Oh, my God, it's like a soap opera. And you guys talked about owners versus players, but I'm glad the third factor came out, the league. How do you run a freaking league when a player says, well, I'm not going to go to this team? Are you kidding me? And you were saying, how does Ainge win only one? Well, he wins only one because he's got to wait for the trade winds to change. He's got to wait for LeBron not to mess the whole freaking thing up. He's got to wait.
Okay, John, I'm just going to stop you. I mean, it's just, look, Kyrie has brought the NBA soap opera to Boston.
Excellent call. Yeah.
Okay, on the floor, off the floor, now we deal with all this sort of Real Housewives of the NBA crap.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's brought that. No doubt about it. I do think that the owners have stepped in here, and they didn't block the Pelicans from doing this, but they were dead set against the Pelicans moving Anthony Davis and handing him to LeBron, especially now. What, just because Anthony Davis demands a trade 10 days before the trade deadline, and he hires LeBron's agent, now the Pelicans are going to hand LeBron Anthony Davis? The league, meaning the owners, hated that thought. We're not going to let these agents run the league. We're not going to let LeBron run the league. And I'm sure they put pressure on New Orleans internally to say, we have to keep control of our league. You can't let LeBron and his agent push everybody around. You're not handing LeBron and the Lakers Anthony Davis.
I mean, and again, I think it's about LeBron more than the Lakers. But the fact that they're now married is in some ways perfect because there's a resentment for the Lakers too. Regardless, this is now twice. Okay, and I was going to say a year, but it's not even a year. It's about 9 months. Twice you've had maybe one of the top five players in the league.
Kawhi Leonard being the first.
Correct. Want to angle his way to L.A., and there's been this rebellion. Popovich.
Way to LeBron. I mean, ultimately, really.
Absolutely. And Popovich was all but inclined to give L.A. the finger and say, I'm going to send him to Canada, for crying out loud, before I send him to you. So, like, I think you are seeing a backlash to LeBron's power in the league. I think that's absolutely right.
We've got, this is a good comment line. I love this. Dan in North Reading says, Felger sounds like Ted Sarandis. How do you think I sound like Ted Sarandis?
Mispronouncing names, maybe?
Start pounding the table. 2 nights in jail.
Throwing objects onto the ice at a hockey game or at any sporting event. I think the penalties have got to be severe. I would fine any fan $5,000 per person. Throw them out of the building, force them to spend 2 nights in jail, and they're never going to be able to go to a sporting event in Boston ever again.
Ever again.
Two nights in jail, too.
Dan in North Reading, how do I sound like Ted Sarandis?
With that tease of yours, all we've been talking about all year is we have too much talent. Are you mad at Danny Ainge? Are you mad at Danny Ainge for not making the trade at the deadline? Are you kidding me? We have too much talent. We have to reduce what we have to figure this out. We're going to get another garbage player or someone else.
Dodge debris.
And Teddy.
No, but Dan, you're right. I don't know how that. Did Ted Sarandis used to say that? But fair point. You know, you're right. I'm sort of teasing. You know, are you upset the Celtics didn't add like everybody else?
These lines when one are of their fluid.
When one of their biggest problems has been too many mouths to feed. Now you want to add another mouth? Just when they're starting to figure out what they have right now? Fair point, Dan. You got me. I still don't know
Jordan
how that makes Taron you sound like
on the right side.
Okay, but maybe you could move two of your guys for one, you know, one player that's a little better than the two-year deal.
I think Rich Peverly's been a good player.
So what if DeAndre Jordan is available by buyout? You don't want him? What, because you got Aaron Baines?
Right.
Like, again, I look at it and say, no. If there's a deal to be made, you make it. I'm telling you, though, I'm getting, I was going to say annoyed. I've reached the point of, like, hysteria over this whole idea that somehow the Celtics are going to screw something up by bringing in a good player. Heaven forbid you bring in we got too much talent as it is. Oh, no, we're loaded. Like, really? Because it looks to me like half the time they're out there, they suck. or they're not good enough, or they're not coming together right, so maybe you got to shake it up a little. Like, you know, this idea that we're going to ruin everything by bringing in talent.
Yeah, ruin what?
No. Yeah, we're going to mess it up, Falco. We're going to have too many good players. Blake is in Haverhill. Yes, Blake, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I just had a question for you guys. I was wondering if you guys think that maybe this whole Anthony Davis trade thing might be a smokescreen for something that's going to happen in the offseason that Danny Ainge really wants to do, and that's take Kevin Durant, try another run at him.
So, I mean, no, I mean, so many people have said it so often that Danny Ainge is obsessed with Anthony Davis. So, I mean, like, that's been so widely reported, I believe that's true. I believe they want Anthony Davis. Now, does that mean they want to give up Jason Tatum to get him? That I'm less convinced of. I fully expect Danny Ainge to get back to New Orleans this offseason and come time for nut-cutting time. Now, okay, Del Dem says, where's this explosive offer? Where's Jason Tatum? Let's see it, Danny. And Danny says, actually, it's Jaylen Brown in a second. Like, I fully expect Danny to try and bend New Orleans over like he's bent over everybody else. And now the only question is whether he gets away with it. So is it possible Danny Ainge just did all of this with the explosive offer nonsense and everyone's available nonsense just to pee in the pool of the Lakers? Maybe.
Sure.
I mean, you don't lose anything other than maybe we'll see how this happens now. Have you sort of upset your young players because now they think they're all on the block? So, I mean, we'll see how that all, if that comes to fruition. But could he be doing this just to mess with the Lakers? It's possible.
Oh, absolutely it's possible. I mean, look, the Celtics know how to play the game as well as anybody. Like, just go back to, remember Ante Zizic? Remember? Yeah, they like Zizic. He's coming along. Yeah. He's playing great in Turkey.
Oh, my God. How many times do I have to listen to?
Did you watch Tuesday night? He stinks.
He blows. He's terrible, oh Murray. He blows. I saw him in a
game. This is a guy playing against the chair.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Israel, in the banquet hall?
Yeah.
Where on the other side of the partition was the bar mitzvah?
So yeah. I think that was actually Dragon Bender.
Oh, you're right. That was Bender, right?
No.
But same thing. Most of these Euro clips you see, it's them against a chair.
No, Zizic was a 7-footer that, they think they found something. No, they did. They discovered something in Zizic. He's a player. Oh, really? Because I saw him play a couple of weeks ago on TV. He sucks. He blows. He's absolutely god-awful.
This explosive offer that is now coming the way of New Orleans in the offseason, I expect to be a full porking by the time Danny Ainge
Anti-Zizic.
Is done with it. Here's Murray's update. What happened today across the East? In the at the NBA trade deadline, Murray with the details, and back to your reaction. I also want to revisit Kevin Durant's comments from last night because they are tremendous. Don't go anywhere.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Hadn't talked for a while. Is it anything to do with anything on your mind, or has it just been coincidence that you haven't talked for some time?
Why do you care?
Because you'd usually talk.
Well, I feel like talking the last couple of days.
It was anything in particular?
No, I just didn't feel like.
Had anything to do with conversation about free agency?
Yeah, that's the conversation you're going to have. I don't think about that type of stuff. That's your job.
All right, so that's Kevin Durant last night. You may have the sound already. I love it. He sounds like a total nozzle. There's no debating it. And I love these guys now. Durant, Kyrie last week, and LeBron to some extent. They're crying about the media coverage when this is the league that those guys created. Those guys created. LeBron James is the one that had the decision. LeBron James is the one that's gone from team to team to team, holding each hostage every step of the way. Durant's the one that's on a 1-1. You know, I just signed long-term and the whole story. Instead, Kevin Durant, I guess it's reported at one point last week that, you know, he's going to the Knicks. And Durant then doesn't talk for 9 days. And then he comes out last night after the Spurs game to talk and just takes a steaming deuce on the media in front of him. This is some high-level bitchiness, which I really appreciate. I can really sort of relate to. So that's how the whole thing started. That's how it started. We'll pick it up here, and here's more of Durant with the assembled media, and he's about to call out the Shaughnessy of Sacramento, or of Golden State, of Oakland. And whoever this guy is, I forget his name already, but whoever this guy is, I love him. I love him because if Durant, one of the biggest stars in the game, is going to not talk for 9 days and then come out and immediately start calling out a media member, I want that media member.
What's his name again, Murray Strauss?
I don't know.
Whatever. Durant hates him and calls him out, and so that
at least you knew.
Sounds like there's a media guy out there in Oakland who's doing his job. Go ahead.
You've obviously been around the noise for so long. Is it bothering you more this year? Is it louder this year?
It's unnecessary. You got to do Ethan Strauss, who come in here and just give his whole opinion on stuff and make it seem like it's coming from me. And he just walk around here, don't talk to nobody, just walk in here and survey and then write something like that. And now y'all piling on me because I don't want to talk to y'all about that. I have nothing to do with the Knicks. I don't know who traded Porzingis. They got nothing to do with me. I'm trying to play basketball. Y'all come here every day, ask me about free agency, ask my teammates, my coaches. You rile up the fans about it. Y'all let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk to y'all.
Stop. So it's like, wait a minute. You're the one that's signing the one-year deals, okay? You're the ones that are opting out every chance that you get. You're the ones that are going from team to team.
He's the one who turned the league upside down a few years ago. That whole summer, where's he going to go next? He's rented the house in the Hamptons. Who's meeting with him today? You can't do that and then turn around and act like this.
I mean, this whole let us play basketball thing is a little like, you're talking about practice. He's losing his mind. This is awesome. Keep going.
But no, but it is. It was an awesome sort of bitch fest. But, again, give me a break, dude. Like, I mean,
oh, no, you created the whole storm.
This is the league you created. And it, and on a lot of levels, it's great. I mean, you are, I think, easily the second national sport in the country. You can talk NBA all year round. You can talk different teams. You can talk teams in big markets, small markets. Baseball can't get 2 minutes on ESPN or any of these national shows. And I don't blame them. They, why would you? Basketball is now a huge national topic because of all of this, because of you. So, but now you don't want the coverage? Like, what? You created this thing. But keep going, Jimmy.
Let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man. Grow up. Grow up. Yeah, you grow up. Come on, bro. I come in and go to work every day. I don't cause no problems. I play the right way. Well, I try to play the right way. I try to be the best player I can be every possession. What's the problem? What am I doing to y'all?
We're talking.
Okay, so Jim Murray, you would have thought? Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, I think it's
make sure you rewind that a little bit, Jimmy. Go.
Yeah, it's just like you. What a baby! Like, dude, like you brought this on yourself, and not only that, you're mad because you got exposed. Like, what do you want to sell this to? The Players Tribune, did you have something planned for next summer when you make your announcement to the Knicks? Like, dude, you're leaving. We know about the turmoil behind the scenes with you and the Golden State Warriors and the bitchiness between you and Draymond Green. You're leaving. We all know you're leaving. And now you're going to pretend that you're not? Like, it's just, it's such a babyish act by this guy. Like, you've brought all this on, and he's immediately, to me, I think in the last few years, gone from one of the most likable players in the whole sport to a guy who's sort of detestable. Like, this was good in terms of, like, content for today's show, but, like, ugh, what's wrong with you?
I mean, he stood on the floor and shouted at the beginning of the season, that's why I'm out, right? When he was in that...
He and Draymond Green, right?
Right, yeah. He was in that spitting match with Draymond Green. Now, all of a sudden, it's, I had nothing to do with trading Porzingis.
I just wanted to play basketball. It's like...
He's mad because he can't control the narrative.
Okay. I think Murray's right. I think it's that, you know, he wanted it to be this big... You know, surprise kind of thing. It's the worst-kept secret that Durant's going to the Knicks. He's going to tell the Warriors to stuff it.
Whether he's going or not, okay? He's the one that signed the 1-1. He's the one that's opting out.
Totally
right. So it's like you're one of the biggest stars in the game who has 3 months to go on your contract. That's not a question. I guess it's not. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I play the right way. Well, I try to play the right way. I try to be the best player I can be every possession. What's the problem? What am I doing to y'all?
We're talking.
So, who are you? Why do I got to talk to you? Tell me. Is that going to help me do my job better? Nah, bro. I didn't feel like talking.
Kevin, the free agency thing really hadn't been that much of a discussion coming to you because we got it loud and clear, at least most of us should have, that it was off limits. Don't
go
there.
What's the problem now?
No, just that you've been quiet and you're not usually quiet. You usually share your opinions and stuff. So everybody's like trying to figure out what's going on. And we're all getting questions from fans like, what's wrong with Kevin? I just tell him he's playing okay, but he's not talking right now.
I just don't trust none of y'all. Every time I say something, it's get twisted up and thrown out in so many different publications. Try to tear me down with my words that I say. So when I don't say nothing, it's a problem. I just want to play ball.
Okay, hold on. No, that's true. If you say nothing, we'll make it up and dump all over you. And if you say something, we'll pick out the bad stuff that you say and dump all over you. Yes,
pretty much, Jay, you can't win.
Welcome to being a superstar athlete.
That's pretty much what it is. See, this is the part that irritates me. It's like Durant wanted to go to Golden State. He wanted the big contract and the championships more than anything. He wanted to be the guy in a championship team. He just didn't want all the other stuff that went with it. Well, it doesn't work that way. Like, I don't know what these guys are thinking, but, like, I do find the lines of questioning hilarious, the guy in the audience. You know, I picture Shaughnessy sitting there going, yeah, the fans are asking us, hey, Dan, what's going on with Durant?
Except this guy's mad? Except this guy's fan voice was, yo, what's up with Kevin? My fan voice would have been, bruh, what are you doing now?
It is. It's great how they always change to the fan voice. The fan always sounds dumb in the fan voice.
So, listen, and Jimmy's going to pick this up here. My favorite part of the whole thing is the very end, because now this is like a two-minute rant where Durant's like, I just want to play basketball. I just want to talk about basketball. You guys keep putting words in my mouth. You want to talk about crap. You want to talk about free agency. You want to talk about I'm going to the Knicks. You want to talk about Porzingis. I just want to come here and talk basketball and play basketball, man. And then finally someone asks him about basketball and listen to what happens. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, how are you playing? How's the team playing in the last couple weeks?
I'm done. You know you don't care about that.
I just asked.
So that's my favorite part. He's like, you guys want to talk crap? You want to talk about free agency? You put words in my mouth. I just want to come and play basketball, man. You want to talk about basketball? I'm fine. But all you guys want to talk about crap? So some poor schmuck says, all right, how about the basketball? How you playing? You don't care about that anyway. I'm done. Like, oh, my God. That's brilliant.
It's the definition of petulant in that league.
But again, so the players have taken control of the league. The owners are trying to fight back. But they're really powerless because if a player doesn't want to play somewhere and has the patience, they're going to get to where they want to go. And you know what? I don't blame the players. I don't begrudge the players in every other sport. They're far more restricted, and so the NBA players carved out more autonomy. Good for you. It's America. It's capitalism. You've done it. No problem. But don't come bitching to us that we talk about it now, because that's the league you create. I say the same thing to Kyrie. What are you angry about, dude?
I'll tell you, and I think at the end of the day, I think it's good for the league. I do, for lots of reasons. One, we're talking about them constantly. Constantly. Oh, right? The cap is higher than it's ever been, for crying out loud, basically.
The fodder is tremendous.
Oh, it's off the charts. I mean, the draw that these guys are as a result of it, the whole nine yards. And what you also have is you got this little rotating balance of power thing. Now, you know, Golden State won one before Durant got there, but they went to a little different level when he arrived. Now LeBron's in L.A. He went back to Cleveland. He won one there. He went to Miami. He won two there. Like, you do have this shifting thing from year to year now, or every few years, in that league, which I think in a lot of ways is good.
You can't be anonymous with that level of talent and that amount of money that you're making and being on that team and having won titles. You just can't have it that way. I just thought it was so bitchy. Great. Again, great content for this show, but ooh, just such a bad look.
It does go to show you, too, how meaningless regular season games are in that league.
Because some teams.
Well, right. Everybody knows, though. Like, no. We don't care about the games. The drama's way more interesting. Way more interesting.
I've said it forever. I've always found it more interesting to talk about the NBA than watch the NBA. And, you know, I've come around to the product a little bit more on the floor. But the off-the-floor stuff, it's just, at one level, it's insufferable. And at another level, it's really solid fodder and just crap, and that's the NBA, and you're in the middle now. Kyrie has brought it here to Boston after years of having the scrappy little team that didn't have the NBA drama, and he's now brought it here. We are right in the middle of the bull crap that goes on in that league.
Yeah, but see, that's a good thing. This is what fans get wrong. It's a good thing because it means you've got a championship caliber player on your team. That's what it means. Kyrie being here is good for the Celtics, it's good for business, and it's good competitively.
Okay, final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah, no. I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry. Sorry. Wrong. Sorry. Sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires. Only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. A couple of pieces of sound here in the final word today. Why don't we start with Maz against Chris and Winthrop when it comes to star players.
Chris and Winthrop, your thoughts on Kyrie.
How you doing, guys? Yeah, I got to go back to what you were talking about earlier. I'm sorry, Maz. Like, the Celtics do play somewhat better team basketball without Kyrie. I mean, when I see Kyrie play, the game plan is get the ball to Kyrie, let him score 30, 40 points. It looks great to watch, and they're barely beating average teams. I mean, the Celtics have too many scores, too much talent. They can give the ball to anybody. Anybody on that team can score anywhere on the court. You know, so I'm not saying go out and trade Kyrie, even if he is out of here anyway, but he needs to change up the game plan. He needs to be a playmaker and not a scorer. So,
Chris, have you watched the last 8 games? This one is, you know, blows me away. I like the team, but we all like the team basketball. We all like it. Okay, for sure, it looks better. We like the teamwork concept. We like all of that. At the end of these NBA games, a lot of that breaks down. And it comes down to who can get their own shot and make it. And to me, that's Irving. You can't, let's not get stupid about this. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe people are buying this crap. Like, what do you want to be? You want to be the Atlanta Hawks again?
We got a lot of guys who can score from anywhere on the court.
Too much scoring, too much talent.
Too much talent.
Yeah, we're too good.
And finally today, here in the final word, we played some of that sound of Bill Belichick last night that was on Showtime and NFL Network.
Oculus, yes.
Yes, talking about the...
This is great.
The roof not being closed for the start of Super Bowl 53.
The Oculus. Yeah. Bill's trying to figure out which direction he wants to go based on the wind factor. Okay. So two things here. I would say, everybody, please. Just
the Oculus.
Oh, my God. Let's call it the Oculus. 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 Oh, go. Screw. I mean, really, kiss my ass. It's the roof. Okay, the Oculus.
Release the Oculus.
My God, that's so corny. The Oculus. Okay. One, the league, I guess, wanted it actually in the process of closing as the ball kicked off because they wanted some sort of fancy shot for NFL Films. I mean, that's what John Perry, that's what he implied, that they want the shot of the ball in the air as the roof is closing? Really? Would you close the effing thing? Open it or close it? You're worried about the what? Like, would you stop?
The Oculus.
Okay? There was no wind.
I know, yeah. Talking micromanaging.
The Oculus. It really, it's not, yes, it's a retractable roof, but it's really just a circular hole that I don't know how really big it is. There was no wind outside to speak of, and it really wasn't coming in the
beautiful
building.
Day.
So what are we like, don't, oh, the wind factor of the Oculus.
No, you know what that is? That's Bill pleasuring himself, letting everybody know that he's got every detail covered. That one's irritating. Seriously. Like, and the other thing is, because it's an Oculus... Like, you know, because the roof, again, sort of tapers, and then you have this eyeball that unravels and opens at the top, for crying out loud. It's not even like an open stadium where wind can come in from
right.
The
no,
side.
No, it's just a little...
He made it up!
It's a blowhole.
It is. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Or an anus.
It's a blowhole. It's a blowhole. I don't know what kind of wind you're really going to be talking about there. That whole thing was ridiculous. Just kick the ball, would you please?
It's a blowhole.
It's an underutilized term.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a good one.
Really playing inside a whale.
Yeah. No, in fact, daily we have 3 blowholes on this show, really. It's really what it comes down to.
It's a blowhole Friday tomorrow. We're back at it for an agenda-free Friday.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.